Welcome back to the K-High Afternoon News. Good afternoon, I am Casey Freelove. Those of you that listen to my sports reports on a daily basis, or at least weekly basis, know that we're always talking about the concussion syndrome as it relates to either high school kids, college, or the pros. It certainly has been very preeminent in terms of pro football, including the recent movie that came out based on concussion with Will Smith. And I thought it would be nice to talk a little bit more about the issue. Joining us is an expert on that issue, Diane Roberts-Stoller. She's at drdiane.com, and her new book is Coping with Concussion. First things first, welcome in, Dr. Diane. How are you today?
Hi, good afternoon.
Very nice to have you with us. And in reading and prepping for this interview, seems like you are one of the foremost experts. So what I was hoping we could do is let's first talk a little bit about the concussion syndrome as a whole, maybe focus in on CTE and give the folks a little bit of your background and kind of how you came to be interested in study this, because it actually affects you in a very personal way.
Well, I'll start with that first. I have been a neuropsychologist for 40 years, and I'm also a board-certified sports psychologist. And, you know, there's the old joke, you know, they say, you know, do you have a couch in your office? Well, the answer is yes. It's custom-made. It's for my NBA players. It's 7 feet long. When you take the pillows out, it's for the NFL players. And then I have little cushions for the gymnasts and the skaters. And so in 1990, I had a cerebral bleed while driving. I had a 60-mile-an-hour head-on auto accident. And then 5 months later, I had brain surgery to remove the cause of the bleed. And in 1994, I was told by every single doctor in Massachusetts in the Boston area that I was permanently brain damaged. I would never walk or talk again. And then I went home, cried, and then I figured out a method of improving, because I had an integrative team at that time. And I have my approach, which is on my website of drdiane.com, is the five-prong approach. I look at the physical, the emotional, and the spiritual, and the psychological. So it's a five-prong approach. And I got better, and I wrote the first book that came out in 1997, which was called Coping with Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. And then in November 13th of 2013, the book came out, Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injury. It's a guide to living with the symptoms associated with post-concussion syndrome, which then we leads into what is a concussion, because we hear about it. The term mild traumatic brain injury was used a long time ago.
Okay.
It's a little bit like shell shock was used before post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right, they'd say like you got your bell rung.
Yeah, that's what you got dinged. And, you know, the people came back from the Second World War and they said they were shell shocked. Now they say they have PTSD. It's the same symptoms. So what is very important for your listeners to know is the difference between a head injury and a brain injury. And so is that we, and this was really in the movie well clearly defined. I thought they did a brilliant job on this particular topic, is that our skull, we have hair, we have a scalp, we have a skull, and then underneath the skull we have a membrane which has cerebral fluid, and then the brain, which is actually like soft custard almost, is made up of a vascular system, which is your arteries, your veins, your capillaries, and then it also has the electrical network of neurons and the hubs and the firings, and across the firings is the chemicals, the neurotransmitters, the neuromodulators, and that fires the whole brain. And actually, I have a very interesting pictures that are on my website about this, so they can actually see it. And so when you run as fast as you can, Casey, it
yes.
is that if you ran as fast as you could against a hard door or against a tree, is that you may get a head injury. You might cut your scalp. You might get a big lump, you know, on your head.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not getting a brain injury. That's very, very important. We're geared for that. But when you are on a skateboard, or if you are sitting and you hit your head, you might get a head injury and a brain injury. But if you're sitting in a car, and you're just sitting in the car and the car gets rammed, you may get a brain injury without a head injury.
Okay. So there's a very stark difference, and when we talk about it in terms of, like, for example, the Will Smith movie or related to football, that's the deeper injury than you're saying.
That's what I'm trying to say. So this is why I'm giving the background. And then originally, when we get into brain injuries, now we talk about the acquired. The acquired would be like a stroke or Parkinson's. But when you talk about traumatic brain injury, it means anything outside. So it's like a gunshot wound, shaken baby, anything that is caused from a traumatic event, such as an IED that is a blast. That's sound. It can be from an auto accident. So you can have a brain injury from torquing of the brain, you know, when you're twisting the neck. So now when they turned back in the 1990s and not until recently, mild traumatic brain injury versus moderate versus coma is if you were just briefly dazed to 1 hour unconscious where you're not aware of your surroundings and some form of amnesia, that was called mild. It wasn't the consequences. That's what was called mild. If it was from 1 hour to 24 hours, that was moderate. And anything after 24, they would say you were in a coma. And
Wow. And
so that term has been morphed, mild traumatic brain injury, because it was the misnomer that it means not to meet bad, is they termed it concussion. But concussion is the event. That's the very important. Because whether you've been out for an hour, and this is what's really shocking to most people. Whether you've been out for an hour, whether you've been out for 24 hours, or you've been in a coma for 3 or 4 months, the consequences can be all the same.
Wow.
And that's called the symptoms of a concussion. So you can have the concussion's the act. It's been the disruption of the brain waves, okay?
Right.
And it can be the shearing, the tearing, and I'm going to get into that. But it is the consequences. So you can have mild, you know, minor consequences to having a concussion, or you can have severe from even a minor being concussed. So this is where, you know, it's not clear. And up to 2000, if you were in Beth Israel Hospital in Boston, they said there was no such thing because they could not see any evidence of trauma to the brain. And this was also really depicted very clearly in the movie because they said, here's this brain that does not look from any MRI as having injury. And that's when they started doing the autopsy and seeing the damage that was internal. And in the recent years, that with the single-weighted imagery, which still shows the gray matter, and then the white matter, which most people, if they look on DTI brain, and this is in my book also, is that it's showing the white matter. It's the connectivity. It's the hubs, and you can actually see it. And when you have tearing and shearing of that, it's the communication is being cut off. Does that make sense?
No, it really does. I mean, it's fascinating because I think you just kind of described it perfectly for someone like myself who is in no way a medical expert. Basically, you're cutting off kind of the receptors that are sending signals to the rest of your well-being, I suppose, right? I mean,
and if you can, what I tell people is if you're driving down the road and you hit a pothole and your tire goes out of alignment, it throws the whole system off.
Right.
Is that when you have a concussion, it's throwing that electrical system off by dysregulation. You can actually see it. And now what I just said about the SWI and the DTI, those are showing the structures of the brain. Now, neuropsych testing, quantitative EEGs, and also fMRIs show the functioning of the brain. How well is that brain functioning? And so we can actually have evidence-based showing how that brain is functioning. So is you can do a neuropsych testing before a game or at the beginning of the year and then have a concussion. You can clearly see the difference. Or, as I said, a quantitative EEG, you can see that.
Now, let me interrupt for one moment. Would that be something that a team would want to do, or would that be something the athlete would have to go on their own and get done?
Most of the time, it has to be on their own. What you do find is that there's a test called impact test,
okay,
where they have them do certain medical, you know, asking questions, how fast, and then they get a baseline. And then if they have a concussion, they will do that test again and check it out. The only thing is that test is geared for 13 and up. So if you have a kid who's younger than that, there's not the test. And so there are some companies who are looking at having different ways, using more of the quantitative, you know, neurofeedback type method of actually looking at the brain's functioning and see how the brain was functioning before the game and how it's functioning after the game.
Wow, that is just, it's amazing. I mean, just where we've come. We're talking with Diane Roberts Stoller, drdiane.com. That's drdiane.com is the website. She's got a bunch of great information on there, and I encourage everybody to take a look, folks. I mean, we call the Placer-Hillman games right here in Auburn, and we saw some pretty bad concussions over the course of this season with all the teams that the boys were playing out there in football. Again, coping with concussion and mild traumatic brain injury is the name of the newest book, and she's also available for consultations. If you know somebody who's been affected by either CTE or just has some questions about how this whole thing works, 1-800-500-9977. Is that correct?
No, 71.
Oh, 9971. Look, I miswrote it right here. I do apologize. But anyway, let's continue with this.
Yeah, one of the things that's very important that in this book, it describes all the different conventional, complementary, alternative, and practical suggestions at the beginning. It goes through all these different structural, diagnostic methods, and functional methods. And then each of the chapters, the rest of the chapters, is like an encyclopedia. You don't have to read the whole book.
Yeah, reference guide kind of thing.
It's a reference guide so that for each chapter, if you have headaches, it just gives a true vignette of a real person. It tells how it's diagnosed. It tells the different types of headaches, specifically, or sleep disorder, whatever it is that you're suffering with. And then there's conventional methods, complementary, alternative, and practical suggestions for every single symptom that's related to having some form of concussion or also for any kind of brain injury.
Great information there from Dr. Diane. That's Diane Roberts Stoller. The website, drdiane.com. That's drdiane.com. Her new book is Coping with Concussion and Mild Traumatic Brain Injuries. You can contact her for a free consultation at 1-800-500-9971. We'll have the second part of our interview coming up in just a little bit.